Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Crossing to Israel for our first report, not only of the morning, but of the week. Avi Abelard, he's the voice of the Pulse of Israel broadcast program. Avi, good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard, as best as possible. How are you?
I am well, thank you. It's been an incredibly challenging few days in Israel, and I guess challenging days ahead. Tell us what's going on.
Well, right now, unfortunately, we, after experiencing the rocket attack on Majd al-Shams, which killed to date 12 innocent children just out playing soccer, 11 of them under the age of 16, and then their very, very sad funeral, we're now waiting for the Israeli response that still has yet to begin, which unfortunately we know is not going to be what is really necessary to stop this Hezbollah force in Lebanon, because there is tremendous pressure from the Biden-Harris administration. So that's where we're at, still waiting to see what this response will be, which won't be enough, unfortunately, to stop what's going on.
No, and one does wonder what it would take for Hezbollah to do for Israel to act decisively. And I'm not saying that the decision is a simple one, because it is likely that if Israel goes full steam ahead, that Iran will be drawn into it, that there will be attacks from every other region that will pull the United States and the UK into it. So I recognize what this will precipitate. But on the other hand, how is Israel expected to continue in this manner?
Unfortunately, we're dealing with a very, very evil double standard in the world. Again, part of Israel's decision making is not only regarding repercussions of a bigger war being developed out of this, but over the past number of months, the Biden administration has withheld munitions and necessary equipment from Israel as a form of preemptive punishment to stop Israel from attacking up north. This is no secret. It was headline news. We're talking about an administration that started with the Obama-Biden administration that went in a pro-Iran direction and less reliant on an alliance with Israel. They're protecting Iran. So it's not about what else has to happen in order for Israel to retaliate. It's when will Israel finally do what it needs to do despite the pressure and punishment that we will get from the Biden-Harris administration? And again, I'm not up there to know exactly what they're threatening us with, but the day is going to come. And Israeli citizens, I've been telling this to you for months, Howard, in our talks, that it's only inevitable when we're going to have a full-scale war up north, and the war is only going to end when Israeli citizens who are evacuated from their homes are able to return to their homes without any fear whatsoever of bombs being shot at them, rockets being shot at them, or a potential October 7th massacre taking place. And that's only going to happen when Hezbollah is totally obliterated and there is no threat whatsoever. I mean, I was just up north yesterday. I was in Kiryat Shmona. I was in Majd al-Shams. I was talking to friends who live in the Golan Heights, and they told me people are not going to move back to their homes until there is no threat whatsoever. And that day is going to have to come. And your question is a good one. And it's not what's going to happen for Israel to do it. It's what's going to happen until Israel no longer pays attention to the immoral and double standard pressure from the international community with the Biden-Harris administration at the helm.
Is this clearly an issue of the, I mean, you've referred to it a few times. Is it clear that this is the issue, that the Biden-Harris administration is the problem here, or is what is stopping Israel from moving forward with this?
To many, it is clear. The other side of the coin is, yes, Hezbollah is Lebanon. Anyone who talks about Hezbollah and differentiating it from Lebanon is misdiagnosing the situation. Lebanon is an Iranian proxy state via Hezbollah. We've had Israeli politicians say that Lebanon has to take it. It's not Hezbollah, it's Lebanon, because Hezbollah is Lebanon. Lebanon is Iran today, for all intents and purposes. The Iranian front line against Israel. Iran will do everything to not allow Israel to eradicate its Iranian front line against us in Lebanon. So we know it'll be developing into a bigger war. But Israelis already know that we can no longer kick the can down the road. The longer we wait, the worse the situation becomes. And the only thing stopping us is Iran is being protected by the Biden-Harris administration. Not everyone might. The establishment media don't talk about it enough. But enough people who use their common sense understand that that is the reason why we're not doing anything. And again, I'm going to talk to you from a point of sadness for me. Mm-hmm. We've been in this situation for 9 months.
Right.
There's no sane government of any country would allow their citizens to be in such a situation. It's not because Netanyahu is not a good leader. It's because we're being squeezed by our only and closest ally that withholds weapons and munitions from us that are necessary in order to fight this war. That's it. That's the only reason. And as a Jew, we've lost lives up there, Jewish lives, and Israel hasn't retaliated. Now we've lost 12 Druze Israeli children. But the pressure is tremendous because the Druze they're not Jewish. They're a population that we have to protect, and there's more pressure to protect them than there is to protect our own fellow Jews when they're killed. Like, of course we have to protect them, but we should be protecting people no matter what religion they are, no matter what affiliation they are. So as a Jew, it's very sad that now now we have to do something. No, we had to do something 9 months ago, and we had to do something when people had to be evacuated from their homes, and we had to do something when a Jewish couple was killed in their car from a rocket attack. It's not now we have to do something. So it's very sad to see much of the attention. Oh, finally, we have to do something. No, we had to do something 9 months ago in order to end this very immoral double standard. But it just goes to show you the tremendous pressure being put upon our government, stopping us from doing what's necessary. And I've told you before, like, the world is pressuring, there has to be a ceasefire in order to end this. There has to be a diplomatic resolution. No, there can't be a diplomatic resolution. Israelis don't trust any diplomatic resolution because the resolution that exists is UN Resolution 1701, which was instituted in the year 2006, which forbid Hezbollah from having any soldiers down south near the Israeli border. It forbid Hezbollah from bringing in any weapons and rockets into Lebanon. And the international community turned a blind eye and did not enforce that. So the Israeli public know not to trust the international community, not to trust any UN resolutions, not to trust any international promises. The only way to end this immoral, illegal aggression by Lebanon as an Iranian proxy is by military force. That's it. There is no other solution.
Yeah, sadly, I just can't really see any other way. And I've also been saying this for some time. It's just, to me, it's just unfathomable that this is allowed to continue and continue. A very, very sad, very, very difficult situation here. What are the Druze community expecting from Israel?
It's a very interesting question. Now, not everyone understands the Druze community. First of all, the Druze are a minority in the Middle East who it's a secret religion, meaning only if you get to the very top of that religion do you actually understand it or learn everything about the religion. But more important on a geopolitical perspective, because they live in the Middle East, their basic tenet is they give their loyalty to whoever's in charge, because they don't want trouble. They just want to be able to live their lives. So if you're talking about Jews in Syria, they're loyal to Syria. Jews in Lebanon, they're loyal to Hezbollah right now. Jews in Israel, loyal to Israel. But then you have the Jews in the Golan Heights. The Golan Heights for years was talked about, and the pressure was on Israel to return it. It was never really Syrian, officially Syrian according to history, but pressure was on Israel to return the Golan Heights to Syria. Because of that, many Jews in the Golan Heights did not take Israeli citizenship. because they feel that they don't want to be seen as loyal to Israel if tomorrow they might be once again under Bashar Assad in Syria. So 80% of the Druze in Majdal al-Shams, for instance, do not have Israeli citizenship for that reason, and they don't serve in the army. There are plenty of Jews who do serve in the army, plenty of Jews who are totally loyal to Israel, even Jews who live in Majdal al-Shams. But because of this geopolitical sensitivity, many of them are not in Majdal al-Shams. 80% are not Israeli citizens and do not serve in the army. And hence, Israel has a challenge. And the challenge is the Druze are waiting to find out if we're going to protect them. And now, again, besides wanting to protect all citizens and obviously protect the Jewish citizens of Israel, Israel must rise up and show the Druze that we are here to protect them. Because if they feel that we're not able to protect them, and not, they want us to destroy Lebanon. The Druze in Majdal al-Shams yesterday are calling for Israel to destroy Lebanon. And if they see us not doing what's necessary to end the threat of Hezbollah, then that pushes them away from wanting to be loyal to the Jewish state of Israel.
Of course.
Because they see the Jewish state of Israel is not able to protect them, so they don't want to switch their total loyalty to Israel. So this is Israel's challenge to do what's necessary, and yes, destroy Lebanon to the extent that there is no more threat ever of Iran against Israel, so that the Druze in the Golan Heights know, yes, the Jewish state of Israel is there to protect them, and they have nothing to fear anymore. That is the ultimate challenge for Israel right now.
That is
regarding the Jewish community.
That is where we leave it. Avi Abelow, the Voice and Pulse of Israel broadcast program. It is 6:49.